Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
When everyone's on the same page, getting things done at work is easy. Make a bigger impact at work with Grammarly. Grammarly is your secure AI writing partner that allows your team to make their point and move faster. You can even save time by going from spending hours editing drafts to just seconds. Join the 96% of Grammarly users that say it helps them craft more impactful writing. Sign up and download Grammarly for free at grammarly.com/podcast. That's grammarly.com/podcast. Easier said, done.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember. Yeah.
You do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad was thinking of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know.
I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
Call the cops, everybody. Welcome to the Football Ramble. Karen Benzema bagged a memorable hat-trick and Scott Carlson ensured Man City kept a clean sheet. It's Thursday, 10th of March. I'm Marcus Speller.
I'm Andy Brassel.
And I'm Jim Campbell.
Hello, everybody. What a thrilling Thursday it already is. My goodness. Last night, we had some glorious Champions League action. We will get to that. But as we got into the studio, breaking news, Roman Abramovich has been sanctioned. Now, of course, those of you who have listened to this would have perhaps got a little bit more information by the time this podcast has come out. But we have to start with that because this is huge news, gentlemen. We will get to Karen Benzema and his glorious hat-trick in a short while. But yes, all his UK assets have been frozen. Chelsea can still operate under a special licence, but for now, the sale is on hold. I mean, Jim, we were hearing of various different buyers that were interested in Chelsea from all around the world, but suddenly this.
It's absolutely fascinating, isn't it? I mean, I think we'd all got to the point where we just sort of thought this wouldn't happen. Mm. And still, it's very, very unclear what this will mean in even the short term for Chelsea, let alone the long term. It's fascinating. Boris Johnson said, to ensure the club can continue to compete and operate, we are issuing a special licence that will allow fixtures to be fulfilled, staff to be paid, and existing ticket holders to attend matches, while crucially depriving Abramovich of benefiting from his ownership of the club. I know this brings some uncertainty, but the government will work with the league and clubs to keep football being played while ensuring sanctions hit those intended. Football clubs are cultural assets and the bedrock of our communities. We're committed to protecting them. Blah, 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 blah.
He always does that.
Yeah. He can't help it. Yeah. But that last bit is the important bit, really, isn't it? I think that does give some indication that they're not going to be completely hung out to dry.
Yes.
While at the same time, these sanctions are going to be pretty severe. We're still a little bit unclear about whether away fans can attend games if they haven't already bought tickets,
yeah.
Which is actually going to put some of Chelsea's opponents at a disadvantage if that is the case.
Mm.
Yeah, I mean, if they haven't already bought tickets, it seems that they're not allowed to sell new tickets. So existing ticket holders, it appears, are allowed to go. But going forward, it will just be season ticket holders rather than selling anything new because he can't be seen to profit from it.
Well,
look, we can't pretend to know everything that's going to happen because it is just an absolutely unprecedented happening, really,
yeah.
in football. And we'll see how it rolls out. But yeah, it's... it's really interesting to see what's going to happen. There are so many angles to it. Of course, you think of not just the sale of the club itself, player transfers, which can't happen out as well as in.
Because they can't, this Chelsea Football Club can't make money at the moment, is basically.
Yes.
So even merchandise. Like they can't sell anything.
Yeah.
That's where we are at the moment. So it's a remarkable situation. The Treasury statement declared that Abramovich had a close relationship with Vladimir Putin for decades, in their words, which included getting financial and material benefits from the Kremlin itself. The statement says, you know, he owns and exercises effective control over Evraz, a steel manufacturing and mining company, which the Treasury has said is or has been involved in destabilizing Ukraine, which is a severe allegation or statement, really.
Yeah.
You know, so, I mean, it was the other week, of course, when Chelsea released their statement, which we all thought was a bit wishy-washy and general, to say the least. And
it's escalated quickly, hasn't it?
Well, it has.
That looks a desperate act now, doesn't it?
If you look from the initial Chelsea statement and the initial position of Abramovich, that the club's not for sale, to handing it over to trustees, to 3 days later saying he's going to sell it. Mm. This is a situation that has escalated rapidly.
Well, they don't know what's going to happen, Andy.
No, they don't.
We're sat here saying we're not sure. They are scrambling away because they don't know what's happening.
You talked about how the listeners will probably know more by the time they've heard this. In a week, what's it going to look like? We've absolutely no idea.
It hasn't.
It's unprecedented, and there's so many angles to it.
Mm. Well, I mean, you know, watch this space, as we all will, of course. It'll be interesting to see what Tuchel says this evening, because they're playing a game of football.
Absolutely. Tuchel's been really good on this as well. And the difference now between... You know, between now and half an hour ago, when we're sort of gearing up to talk about the cavalcade of prats who are seemingly lining up to bid for Chelsea, is so different. So there's a billionaire who's married to Holly Valance, and there's that Woody Johnson fella. That one seemed like a prank.
Oh yeah.
Hey, I'm Dick Penis Cut. I'd like to buy your soccer team. Suddenly it all started to go a bit football and a bit silly and a bit normal again.
The
sanction actually happened. I'm still slightly shocked by it.
Nice to hear Holly Valance's name.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. Okay. Something we can all agree on, at least, Andy. Well, there we are. As I say, watch this space and we'll see how that story develops. But no doubt tomorrow we'll probably have more stuff to talk about on the Ramble. The next week, it is utterly intriguing. But yes, they do have a game tonight. But gentlemen, let's talk about last night's action in the Champions League, of course. We have to start with Real Madrid 3, Paris Saint-Germain 1. It was 3-2 on aggregate. Paris Saint-Germain are out again. You see what happens if you get rid of Tuchel.
It's a wonderful seasonal occurrence, isn't it? It's like the Northern Lights.
Yeah.
the PSG bottle job.
They did get to the final under Tuchel.
They bottled it.
You know when you go on a Northern Lights tour, Jim?
Never been on one.
If you go on one and you don't see the Northern Lights...
Yeah.
You can go back for free as many times until you actually see it happen. So if you go to the Parc de France and don't see them get knocked out of the Champions League in the knockout stage, will they let you come again to League knockout stage game for free?
The way they count the pennies, I would imagine not. Maximise all the match.
Well, I mean, look, it goes to something, doesn't it, where the neutral was waxing lyrical about plucky Real Madrid coming back against PSG. This is the space Paris Saint-Germain occupy now in the football landscape.
It's like we can completely overlook the fact that Real Madrid are actively trying to destroy this competition.
Yes.
And their own domestic league.
Well, and in due course, when the Champions League changes, I mean, you could say they've been quite successful at sort of ruining the competition as well.
It's old money versus new money, isn't it, essentially? And people have picked old money.
Yeah. But I think people love familiarity, don't they? We're slaves to it in some regards, you know. But, I mean, you can't deny old Karim Benzema. I mean, he's not a spring chicken anymore, but my goodness, he knows where the goal is. Scored a 17-minute hat-trick, of course. His third came 10 and a half seconds after the kickoff following his second.
It was absolutely phenomenal, that. The thing is, you knew when Madrid equalised that the tide had turned.
And they
massively.
Knew because the way they pressed them.
Yeah.
They got Luka Modric and they're pressing.
Oh, Jesus, Luka Modric. He was an absolute magician yesterday. I mean, and that's not unusual, is it? But he is 36 years old and the way he's still gliding through midfields is fantastic.
He's the same age as Scott Carson.
The amazing thing is, though, when you get the, I don't want to say sympathy Ballon d'Or, but the symbolic Ballon d'Or, which has been so unusual in the modern era because it's been Messi and Ronaldo the whole time.
Yeah,
that tends to be, right, you've had your time and that's your lot. The weird thing is, he's been better in the years since he's won the Ballon d'Or than he was in the year that he won the Ballon d'Or and the years before that.
Because he's
a real
deal.
Before that.
He is truly aging like a fine wine, isn't he? I think that's...
But do you think that's it, though? Because he thinks to himself, right, well, he's a wet... Because when a player gets into their 30s, depending on who it is and you know how they've treated their body and their physical prowess or limitations, you know, were they a pacey player, were they not, da-da-da-da-da. There is maybe a little period where a player is trying to work that out and thinking, oh, can I still charge around the place? Whereas actually when you get to Modric's age, you think, actually, do you know what? I really know what I'm good at and I really need to play to those strengths and maybe not try and compensate for the lack of pace or physicality.
Well, I think he's very professional and also he's never been a flash player, has he?
Yeah.
Like, he's a talented player that doesn't do unnecessary tricks and skills. Mm-hmm. And
he's
so
not
he's
a gobbler of goals and assists.
Yeah, exactly.
Is he?
He sometimes talks crap off the pitch.
Ego doesn't hold him back.
But, really.
Yeah. But he was fantastic. But anyway... you could tell, as you said, even when Madrid equalised, the tide was turning. You could see it happening. Yeah. And PSG crumble in front of that. And they seem to do it every single time. Luke talks about it a lot. There's a sense in a game where the tide starts to swing. Everyone knows. Nobody can do anything about it, right? And that's absolutely right. But with PSG, it's chronic. It's a phenomenal thing to see happen. Because even when Madrid were 3-2 up, PSG seemed to be really worried about conceding again rather than trying to score.
Yeah, they didn't look like they were going to get a winner.
Their heads just went completely.
But you're right, the gap between goals 2 and 3, as you were pointing out, Jim, is almost a parody of Paris Saint-Germain in the Champions League. Mm-hmm. And the thing is, people will never say this out loud because, you know, when you discuss a game, the need is to justify a result.
And you say it now. Go on, say it now.
They were really good for the first hour.
They were.
Yeah, they were.
But really
they played Madrid very well, didn't they? They just hit them on the counter. It was simple, but it worked.
In the, what would it be, 180 minutes, for 150 of them, Paris Saint-Germain were easily on top.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what we're dealing with. In the first leg, you know, it was a case of when will they score? Because Real Madrid, I mean, the people were saying, what on earth has happened to Real Madrid? This is the side who have won the most Champions Leagues in European Cups in history. They've gone over to Paris and tried to defend and play for a 0-0. Yeah. And they were close to getting it. Mbappe scores late on. And I said it at the time, they really celebrated that as if they'd gone through. They thought, we've got the... There we go, and it's all plain sailing now. They go 1-0 up and you know, Mbappe scores a great goal. I mean, away he gives the keeper the body swerve.
Ball in the net 3 times, didn't
he? Well, he did, yeah. And rightly ruled out. But that first goal, the way he played, I mean, he could have had a couple more. I mean, it was some decent goalkeeping from Courtois. Saves, perhaps, you maybe would expect him to save, but still credit where credit's due.
It was absolutely elite, that finish, wasn't it? Because there is a difference between running at like kind of more regular defenders and David Alaba and then having to beat Courtois. But he, the way he feinted to sort of trick Alaba and gave Courtois the eyes and opened up his body and then, you know, struck to his near post was, again, elite.
It
looks a simple finish, but he's had to do so much to beat those two players there without even actually touching the ball.
Completely.
It's just brilliant. But I think, coming back to what you were saying, Marcus, about how they were on top for most of the game, I think the issue they have is that in that period where Madrid turned it around and they did start turning the screw and they got on top, they only really faced that once a year.
Yeah.
I know it's a thing that we say every year, it becomes such a cliche that they don't face like tough enough opposition to be ready when this happens. Mm-hmm. But it appears to be true.
I don't think that's true.
No?
I don't think that's true. I think it's... They have all the tools to get through it. Mm. We know they have all the tools to get through it. It's playing the occasion.
Because that's what I mean, though, right? Because they're not really in
well,
a situation.
But you could say, to a lesser extent, you could say that about maybe Bayern Munich. You know, at times when they've romped home in the Bundesliga, you know, they don't struggle with this kind of thing. But I mean, the
old
fact,
money, though, isn't it?
It's old money. Do you see? You know, we stand with old money, Andy. But the fact of the matter is, if Donnarumma doesn't mess around there, it may well have gone through.
Yeah, it was interesting hearing Pochettino's take on it. Afterwards,
he thought it was a foul.
Yeah,
that'd have been chalked off of VAR. Oh, what a killjoy that would have been.
Yeah, it would have been a killjoy, but you wouldn't be that surprised, though, would you?
Yeah,
it was close. Yeah. If the referee had given it, I would have understood.
Well, he didn't, Andy.
No, he did. Yeah. He didn't. And either way, Donnarumma shouldn't have been mucking about with it.
No, no. It was an absolute gift at the worst possible time.
Yes.
It really was. And
and
Benzema himself, I mean, he knows no limits. He's the first player to score in 18 successive calendar years in the Champions League, 2005 to 2022. What a run.
He is belatedly, very belatedly getting his flowers, isn't he?
He is.
And, well,
and right enough, because he was, you know, Ronaldo's did Ronaldo's dirty work on the pitch so often. And a touch underrated Benzema, you might say, in his career, Andy.
Still top scorer. For a couple of years now, he's been the top scoring Frenchman in the history of the Champions League. Let that sink in.
Yeah, that's huge.
And he's bringing that number up. I mean, presumably Mbappe will overtake him at some point, presumably when he reaches about 30, but still.
It was absolutely glorious stuff. The finish,
lovely bloke by all accounts as well.
That's Jim's words, not the official line of the Football Ramble. But it's the first time a Champions League side has conceded three in less than 17 minutes since PSG did it when they lost 6-1 to Barcelona. Another stat for you, PSG have been eliminated four times after winning the first leg in the Champions League knockout stage since 2011, more than any other team in that period, just to add a little bit more weight to all that PSG bottle job.
So some have suggested that this was a worse capitulation than the remontada at Barcelona. What are you saying?
No, I don't think that'll ever be topped.
Although the funny thing about that is that they responded by buying Neymar. And it's happened again.
Yeah, what's going to happen?
What do they do now? They'll buy Mbappe. No, that happened again in...
No, they'll sell
Mbappe.
I was going to say, it didn't work, so you do the opposite.
Lost my mind there, yeah, exactly.
You sell a player to the team that beat you, and then maybe?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Something's got to work, surely.
Get Tuchel back.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe that's the answer. But yeah,
good news for Man United, though, isn't it?
Very good news. Yes, indeed it is.
Pochettino will probably be available sooner.
Well, I tell you what. I mean, it's funny actually, because some are saying that he might face the sack now, and others are saying no, it's fine. Leonardo apparently has said no.
Leonardo's opinion no longer counts. That's the issue. That's the issue here. So
you say that as if you've got beef with him.
Obviously, well, I don't. But like the idea, because he's very charming in the English media, like, it gives this impression that he knows what he's doing. I think that's a little bit of a false impression.
So you don't rate him as a...
Also, no. And also, his transfer window, which people were lauding as the best ever, because he got... it's really difficult because, you know, you want to do the inverted commas with your fingers, and this is an audio medium. But when he got... You know where the commas go, ladies and gentlemen. Mm-hmm. When he got Donnarumma for... free.
Yeah.
When he got Sergio Ramos for free.
Yeah.
When he got Gini Wijnaldum for free. All that sort of stuff. People were saying, oh, and Messi, of course, it's the greatest transfer window ever. There was never any sense of how this might fit together. And also, you've got to look at the Kylian Mbappe situation. And the fact is, when Nasser Al-Khelaifi, the president of PSG, little-boyed him and said, you know what, I know your job is to sign players and renegotiate contracts, but I don't trust you to get the Kylian Mbappe deal done. Mm. So you know what? I'm going to do that from now on. That is the point where the president said, you know what? You're not the magician that people thought you were. I don't believe in you anymore. And since then, the clock has been ticking on Leonardo. He has felt like he's really, really under pressure. You can tell that from the way he expresses himself in the French and international media. And so when he comes out and says something like this, the club do not care what you think. If they are going to sack Pochettino, which they will, it's only a question of when. It might be before the end of this podcast. Let's hope not. It might be before the end of this week. I certainly think it will be before the end of this season, and it will definitely be before the end of
before
his contract
the end of the season.
In 2023. Well, the thing is, if you're planning for next season, which is what they're doing now, they're 13 points clear at the top of the league. Why not give the new man in a period to bed in? I think there's something to be said for that. He's clearly had a time there that he's not really enjoyed. The one thing that I can't get on board with is certain groups of Manchester United fans, for example, on Twitter, going, look at him. He had Neymar, Messi and Mbappe, and he couldn't even win the Champions League. We don't want him anywhere near Manchester United. That shows a complete lack of understanding how he works.
Of course it does.
I mean, the reason they haven't won the Champions League is because he's had to fit all those into the same team. Yeah.
It's very strange seeing Messi just look like a regular player, isn't it? He does look very ordinary, and it's just odd.
Well, I mean, we
forgot he was there at times.
Yeah, I mean, it's the same with Ronaldo at times at Manchester United. You know, they couldn't. It's apparent now they couldn't go on forever at the very, very top. But they're still operating, you know, in the Champions League and so on. So they're not doing too badly. But Andy, who do you think PSG could go for after Pochettino?
It'll be Zidane. It will be Zidane, despite the fact that recently he was opening a sports centre in Marseille, and while he was giving his speech...
Is that what he's doing these days?
Loads of locals were shouting, don't go to Paris! Don't go to Paris! And sort of drowning him out.
See, I heard some people were saying, give it Zizou till end of season. That's what I heard, but there we are. Well, speaking of Big Nasser, by the way, at PSG, apparently him and Leonardo reportedly went down to the referee's dressing room and tried to force their way in. They were asked to leave, but blocked the door, and Nasser hit one of the referee's equipments because of the anger about the decision.
Not the fourth official's subs board.
I mean, we
can't put up with that.
I sincerely hope not.
Hit one of the equipments. Odd. I like the thought that he like smashed the referee's board over his knee.
Maybe.
Well, also there would be no trying. I mean, if Leonardo wanted to bust into the referee's room, he'd do it. He's got experience in that area.
Oh my goodness, yeah. Well, there we are. Apparently there are claims that Real Madrid were recording an episode of Inside Real Madrid when this happened, so it could all be on camera.
Don't get one over on old money. Do you know that's the lesson there?
The house always wins, Jim.
It turns out it only goes wrong when Sergio Ramos is filming documentaries at Champions League games.
Well, maybe he was filming. He wasn't playing, was he?
Yeah.
Oh, he knows the club.
Almost feels like he got himself sent off in advance.
I know what happens at this ground for these games. There's no point. I don't want to be a part of this at all. Yes, there was one downside to the match, of course. Steve McManaman kept calling Michael Owen Mo. In the broadcast, yeah.
Why? It's a compliment, isn't it? Being compared to Salah?
Little Mo. Yeah, maybe. Yeah. Well, did you see that thing? Was it the Champions League tweeted a topless picture of Mo Salah? Was that the other night, wasn't it?
Is that right?
Yeah. More of that, please. Anyway, before we go for a break, if you want more on Real Madrid versus Paris Saint-Germain from last night, get over to Football Ramble Presents today for On the Continent. David Cartledge is joining Dotton and Andy. So there'll be more chat about the scenes that happened last night and so on and so forth. So there we are. All right, everybody, let's have a quick break. And after which, we'll talk about Manchester City and Scott Carson.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com. I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the year in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
There's more to Irish history than St. Patrick. And Shane Todd and Hazel Hayes are here to tell you all about it on We're Not Fucking Historians, the Irish history podcast with a few facts and plenty of crack, like the legendary Irish warrior Cú Chulainn.
Some sources say he killed the dog by driving a hurling stone down its throat. Now he's six. Hazel, did someone say the naughty step?
Jesus, someone went to bed without supper, didn't they?
Someone called Super Nanny, because he's at it again.
Or Ned Kelly, Australia's infamous Irish-born bushranger.
Punishment was imprisonment with or without hard labour.
I'd prefer without.
If possible. Like, if it's going. Do you have any without hard labour?
Yeah. Can I have the without labour substitute, please?
Can I get the hard labour on the side?
Can I get almond instead of hard labour, please?
Search We're Not Historians. That's We're Not Historians in your favourite podcast app for weekly episodes every Tuesday.
Let's see what these people have said about it. Amazing. The Times. Whoa. New York Times. A lot of times. Great. Hazel herself.
We're Not Fucking Historians is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Oh my goodness. It is tremendous. It's tremendous. I'm going to get to the window here. It's not Jermaine Defoe. No, all right.
Not Jermaine Defoe, everybody, but it is the Football Ramble. Welcome back, and it's time for emails. You know if you got an email to show at footballramble.com, do it for Sven. I said you got an email to show at
footballramble.com, Sven. Because of your extremely disturbing dance during that spells, we're going to have to go straight to this email from David and put it all behind us. Thank you, David, for butting in. Long-time listener, first-time emailer. Further to your discussion on Tuesday about Shaka Hislop deservedly getting the freedom of Newcastle, I just wanted to confirm what it means. Newcastle is one of the very few cities that has open fields in the city centre. Freemen of the city can graze their cattle upon it if they wish. The first thing I'd do is buy a cow and let it loose on the wide open fields. Well, I'll tell you what, David, that would be a mistake, because students in the area have been known to get involved in cow tipping.
Mm. I don't understand why the cows don't just run away.
Because they're cowards.
Oh, no.
Do you know, speaking of like parks and animals and so on, there's a city in Ecuador called Guayaquil down south, and they have Parque Iguanas. Or whatever, you know, basically Iguanas Park. And it is this little thing right in the centre of the city, and there's iguanas everywhere in it.
Right.
And I think it shows you the maturity of the people in that country. Because as my friend said to me when we were there, he went, well, this wouldn't happen back home. Why? He went, well, I mean, I know I would get pissed up, pop down here and tuck one under the arm and take it home. But
idea.
Amazing. So, yeah, get yourself over to Wycombe.
Yeah. Also, don't steal iguanas. And I'd like to apologise to the cow community for victim shaming them. Anonymous is back.
Oh.
Again, don't think it's them. It's the Canadian fella or lady. Who knows? In regards to the Halifax Wanderers talk, as boring as it sounds, I agree with both sides of the argument. It's certainly quantity over quality. I'm a non-Canadian who worked for the Wanderers in their first official season in the CPL, and from a lot of home and away supporters I talked to, they admitted that the atmosphere in Halifax was one of the best in the country. So the noise is great, but the quality of the songs is pretty atrocious. I 100% agree with the need for new songs or a rival supporters section, which could potentially be called the Ramblers. Mm. Obvious pod connection, but also very similar to Wanderers. Anyway, both of those previous emails left out the best bit where the Wanderers had a Trinidadian player called Elton John. Mm. He's unfortunately no longer at the club, though. Also, the home field has a slight bump all the way down the middle from goal to goal. So, improvements to be made.
Was the slight
kick
bump,
it down the little valley, right?
Yeah, surely. I reckon.
Was the slight bump all the way down the middle from goal to goal known as the Yellow Brick Road?
Yes. Yeah,
it should be. It should be.
Well, there we are. I think I'm enjoying all this Halifax Wanderers nonsense. Get involved. Show at footballramble.com or tweet us at footballramble.
Some would say, if they were cynical, that maybe these anonymous emailers are a series of people working for the club trying to squirrel a sponsorship deal.
Ooh. Well, they're idiots because they're using us, if that's the case, and that's not going to be fruitful at all, Andy.
I meant from us.
Oh, from us. No, we, again, even more stupid.
You're not fancy part owning a Canadian team?
Yeah, if it's for free, yes. I think you overestimate our spending power. Oh dear. Speaking of spending power, gentlemen, Manchester City 0, Sporting Club de Portugal 0. Of course, it was 5-0 in aggregate. The damage was done in Lisboa. Manchester City progressed to the last eight without any hiccups at all. The best thing about the evening was Pep Guardiola bringing on Scott Carson for the last sort of 20 minutes. Immediately called into action, made a great save, and he ensured the clean sheet, Jim.
He did. He did. It's lovely to see him.
Oh, come
on.
You
forget he's there. And like, I forget he's there about every 2 weeks. Mm. And then I remember he's going, Scott Carson there.
It's the epitome of a lovely old job, Andy.
It really is.
Always disappoints me that it's not still Stuart Taylor, but you know.
Oh, Stewie Taylor.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I think it's great. It's his second Champions League appearance, of course. His debut was almost 17 years ago for Liverpool against Juventus when he was 19. You can forget Scott Carson was there at Liverpool back in the day.
That feels pub quizzy, doesn't it?
Luke's
perhaps
gamey.
Perhaps that's a record, that sort of distance between the first appearance and the second.
Maybe it is, Jim.
Who knows?
Maybe it is. Sporting's last sub, Rodrigo Ribeiro, 16 years old, was born in the same month.
Wow.
Isn't that quite something? Yeah.
Amazing.
But speaking of youngsters, though, a few Man City youngsters on show, Andy. We saw CJ Egan-Riley starting at right back. James McCatty came on for Phil Foden at half time. I mean, Pep Guardiola obviously likes to use a fixture. It's essentially a dead rubber, really.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, you've got to respect the tie, and also, you don't want to be in a situation where if you played your complete second string, although their second string would probably get some sort of result, you suddenly go 2-0 down, you're a bit like,
yeah,
have to make a few subs just so it's not too nervy, you know.
Yeah.
But I mean, 5-0 was such a huge margin.
That's right. One unlikely starter, I guess, which was Egan Riley. But I don't know. It was interesting the way that in the pre-match, all the Sporting players said, well, obviously we can't go through, but what we can do is XXXXX. The only person who couldn't admit that was Guardiola.
Really?
He's like, well, yeah, we haven't won it yet. It's like, come on,
come
man.
Come on, Pep.
Come on.
Yeah, but that's, you got to do it. I thought he was, I thought he's fair to say that, because you can't stand there even with a margin like that and go, well, we're obviously through. Like, you just
you're
cannot.
No, but you're right. You don't have to say
that. Unless you're Paris Saint-Germain, you can't do
but
that.
But he is, I'm going to go as far to say, I don't want to say he's the greatest coach of all time. What I would say is he is the greatest patronising patter on the head
definitely.
Of unthreatening opponents of all time.
Yeah, he does.
Given, that's not saying nothing. Yeah. Bear in the past, you've had Sir Alex, you've had Mourinho, you've had some top quality like patronising patter on the heads of unthreatening opponents. But I think he is clearly the best, and he's not even finished his career. Well, he could get even better at it.
He could get better at it. I mean, there was only one occasion I remember off the top of my head when Ferguson gave his thoughts on, when he thought it was all wrapped up, the league, and it was very early days. I think they'd beaten Arsenal 6-1. Sorry to remind you of that, Jim. I think it was in January or something.
February.
Was it February? Yeah. Okay. And they were a lot of points clear. And of course, they won the league at a canter. It would.
Yeah, 2001, wasn't it?
Right, okay. And he said in the post-match, he said, well, I think it'll be impossible for Arsenal to catch us now. And the interviewer said, oh, so you think you've the league's wrapped up? And obviously Ferguson realised sort of what he said and then smiled and went, no, I said it was impossible for Arsenal to catch us. And then, of course, they were the only ones challenging them at the time. Yeah. You know, so that was one occasion I think I can remember. But I think Guardiola, you're right. Guardiola loves a non-threatening opponent. You know, I love the way they play. They came here, they play football in the right way. If only we could play like them. Yeah, but you've just dicked on them.
Yeah. Matias Nunes is one of the best players in the world, etc.
Yeah, all that kind of bollocks.
With no disrespect Nathan to him, Redmond. He's excellent. But,
Nathan Redmond knows what we're talking about here. So, it's enjoyable to see how he'll mess it up as they go forward. But, I mean, really, if you look at the way Manchester City are playing, and of course, having reached the final last time, you know, we talk about PSG bottle jobs and so on. Manchester City, there was that sort of perceived glass ceiling, wasn't there? It was one of the things Guardiola said when he took over at the club. It was obviously they'd won the league under Mancini, you know, they got that monkey off their back. But in Europe, it was still poor performances. Mm. And Guardiola trying to breed this winning mentality in the Champions League. You know, you still had empty seats at the Etihad for some Champions League nights. Now, I know there's a number of reasons for that, whatever. But he was trying to turn it around. They got to the final last time. He obviously overthought it a lot, but still, it was a fine performance from Chelsea. And you can lose a final to a very, very good opponent.
I think that's a really good point. I think the one thing that Leonardo has said in the last couple of years that I would agree with, that if you're getting to the final and or semi-finals in successive seasons, you're doing the right thing.
Yeah.
Mm. Because, you know, you are a hostage to fortune. It's still an open competition.
Southgate's England,
amongst
Andy.
The biggest clubs. Exactly.
You know what I mean?
Exactly.
Yeah. And it's not unheard of, is it? Liverpool did it, you know, lost in the final, went back and won it the next year. It feels like a horrible mountain to climb, but it's, you know, as you say, is that winning mentality? And clubs in the position of Man City, where they are, they're bred for success, they expect success. They don't feel the pressure in the same way.
No, but will he learn, Jim? Will he learn?
No, he absolutely won't. Although maybe he will. Maybe this is what it takes for Guardiola to scale that mountain. It's scale the mountain, get all the way to the final, make a weird team selection, and then go back and then don't make a weird team selection, and then you win. Maybe that's how he has to do
it. You know how you bring on, like, sometimes a goalkeeper for a penalty shootout, you know, Tim Krul in the 119th minute? Do you reckon he should just, like, you know, hand it over to Juan May Leo for the final? What do you reckon?
I sincerely hope so. Is what I'd say. Scott Carson starts the final.
There we go.
Will Scott Carson, after that performance, Andy, will he be thinking third choice for Qatar this summer?
That's the spirit.
Or have we still got Tommy Heaton locked down on that one? We shall see. Speaking of Qatar, everybody, big news. Big news. It's reportedly that England's players, relatives and partners, they'll apparently all stay on a luxury boat in Qatar. Just off Qatar, for the duration of the tournament. This is to apparently get round the drinking law, so they can all have a bit of a booze up on the boat.
Jim. Are you looking at Jim so intently because his favourite music video ever is Rio by Duran Duran?
Do you know what? I'd wondered why I was subconsciously thinking about Jim and this and that, and you've just...
It's very Rio, actually, isn't it? It's also very ITV2. Presumably there will be cameras on this boat. We all want to see what happens here, right?
That's what we want, Jim. We want an ITV2 production, not an ITV4 production.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes.
It's all sold in with the right.
Absolutely right. Absolutely right. I just, you know, is it Gareth Party Barge, Andy? I mean, come on. Barden all over again!
You can imagine the ITV coverage. They will just cut to the boat every now and then of everyone watching.
Is that Sven in the background? Less said about that, the better, I think. Right, everybody.
You absolutely don't think that at all, do you? That's the last thing you think.
First and last. Right, everybody. We do look forward to that, of course. Tonight, Premier League action. The aforementioned Chelsea will face Norwich. It'll be interesting to see, you know.
It will.
Tuchel said, didn't he, about, you know, the players are asking questions. They're going to ask a lot more questions now, you would think.
But they're still going to beat Norwich.
I was going to say.
Well, I think Chelsea are heavy favourites, but it's easy to forget that Norwich did actually beat Chelsea in the Premier League as recently as 1994. So... you know.
Sorry.
Not over yet, is it?
History is important, isn't it?
It is.
Yeah. No, all joking aside, that is an ideal fixture for Chelsea, given the circumstances. Yeah, it's away from home as well.
Release some tension.
Yeah. You go up to lovely Norwich, pick up your 3 points. And there we are. Shame though that Reece James is out with an injury after being back.
Can I go as far as to say I don't want to watch Chelsea without Reece James? Oh, I love watching him so much.
I think this is the ideal game for him as well.
Yeah,
because he is turning.
He could score out
becoming even
this,
Vardy-esque maybe in his shithousery as we've been discussing lately. And Norwich is the ideal stage for that.
I think you might be saying about Reece James being a bit of a shithouse because he interviews very well after the game. He comes across very, very well. But do you remember? Was it early on in his England career? He's still early on in his England career. Isn't that many caps? But he got sent off against was it Denmark in the UEFA Nations League? When it was like quite late on. It was a bit of back chat or something.
Yeah, after the final whistle, was it?
Yeah. It's something like that, yeah. So he's already had a red card for England. And not that many players have red cards for England, actually, if you look at the statistics.
Very, very rare, isn't it?
It is quite... there's very few. We shall see there. But huge game for Jesse Marsh's men at Leeds United. They welcome Aston Villa. Oh, I tell you what, goals. Goals in that game, Andy Brassel.
Nothing against Aston Villa, despite the email from earlier in the week from flatmates. they've obviously got something against Aston Villa. But I really hope Jesse Marsh gets the points and I really hope that he does well. Because not only do I think he's a smart appointment for Leeds, not only do I think he's a good coach, but the amount of nonsense that he's had to put up with already... The huddle and that sort of stuff. And the way he's dealt with it has been absolutely expert. Mm. You know, if you look at the press conference before this game against Aston Villa where he goes, I thought it was hilarious and ridiculous. Mm. And he takes it down so economically. Yep. No wasted words.
Yep.
So
I have to say,
I wish him all the best.
I'm not a huge fan of a huddle, if I'm honest.
Right.
So, but I don't think that before, you know...
Well, is it only Celtic are allowed to do it?
No. I don't really care for any team doing a huddle. But I think with Jesse Marsh, when he's being questioned and like someone asks him about Ted Lasso and all this kind of stuff, that's up there with stupid questions like when what's his name asked Kasper Schmeichel ahead of the semi-final in the Euro. So is it coming home then?
Yeah,
you know, like do you know what I mean?
It's just basic, isn't it? The fact that you're in that room means you should be of a higher quality than that question.
Oh, it's a bigger error than Donnarumma's last night, you know, comparatively speaking.
Yeah.
But there we are. Poor old Jesse. But yeah, Andy, so you're rooting for Leeds tonight. Fair enough. I think there could be goals in that one. Newcastle travelling to Southampton. Talking of goals, boys. Get your predictors in for that.
Will they win the Champions League before PSG? Looks possible.
Newcastle United. Yeah, I think
only if they start Bruno Guimaraes.
Yeah,
I would say.
Yeah, he's not played that much, has he, so far?
Well, he's not started yet, has he?
Yeah. You must be disappointed with that.
I'm not as disappointed as him.
When are you going to stage an intervention, Tammy? You coward.
Yeah, that's annoying that they've still not even really used him.
Yeah, they don't need to. They're flying.
Well, with Shelvey's athleticism, I mean, what's the point?
Yeah. You know? They've not lost the Premier League game in 2022, which is quite something.
It's remarkable, right?
That is remarkable. They've got a chance to go 10 points clear of the relegation zone. So, could things be derailed?
If they go 12 points clear, I feel like they might actually go down.
Oh, that, ladies and gentlemen, is how you do a callback. marvellous, yeah. Well, I was going to say, could things be derailed, though? Because Eddie Howe admitted recently that a pint of Newcastle Brown Ale has never entered his body.
You know, that's not quite what he said.
The fact remains, Jim. The fact remains, through no orifice of Eddie Howe,
He announced it. Through no orifice, have I ever imbibed a Nuki Brown? Next question.
Yeah. So I mean, that's not the kind of thing. Although I suppose when you think about Mike Ashley, who you know. On the terraces.
Couldn't get enough of the stuff.
Plug it anywhere. You know, it's textbook how to integrate with the locals, isn't it? Maybe they're relieved that Eddie Howe has not been consuming any Newcastle Brown Ale. I don't know.
But that is the most unsurprising bit of news ever. He is the squarest manager in the Premier League.
Oh, Andy.
By some distance.
Well, he did say, ale is not really my thing. I have had 0 points of it.
Thank you for reinforcing my point.
Mm. It's a bit Michael Owen.
Yeah, is ale your thing, Andy? I mean, you're not a drinker. Like, has it ever been your thing? Maybe you had too much and now you don't drink.
No, ale was never really my thing, no.
Okay, fair enough. Jim, is the only drinker in the room?
No, I'm more of an Archers man.
Are you?
Yeah, just Archers for me.
And Baileys.
You and Sven.
Yeah, Archers and Baileys together. If I'm really pushing the boat out.
The perfect combo. What a night. Squarest manager. I'm not having that.
Who's squarer?
Who's squarer than him?
Ah, Rafa's gone, isn't he? Rafa's a bit square.
Rafa's quite square, yeah.
But like, it doesn't mean to say in a bad way, because it's hip to be square, of course, as Huey Lewis proclaimed all those years ago. Well, Jim, you have a think about that while we talk about the Europa League this evening. West Ham are playing Sevilla. Andy, the beautiful city of Seville. You are a big fan of it. I'm a big fan of it. Anyone who's been there is a big fan of it. You take in the sights, the lovely weather, the beautiful food. And why not have a bit of a punch-up while you're there, as West Ham fans are currently doing, some of them?
Yes, with Eintracht Frankfurt fans who were there for the game against Betis.
Bloody hell, fire.
Last night, which was pretty
awful. It's quite depressing. I mean, it's depressing wherever it is in the world.
Yeah.
But when you're like surely the novelty... Even, I mean, surely your nature should stop you from doing that. But the sort of the novelty or the excitement of being in a beautiful foreign city, taking in the sights, like, what are you playing at?
Yeah, it's pretty grim. But the majority of West Ham fans who are having a super time out there,
yeah,
will enjoy it. I think they'll enjoy it a lot. It's a great away trip. Beautiful city, mm-hmm. And I actually think West Ham have got a chance of getting something out of this.
Well, yeah, Sevilla have a lot of players missing, don't they? A lot of key players as well. So,
They've just been looking worn out for weeks. That's really why they haven't been able to keep pace with Real Madrid in the La Liga title race. I mean, overachieving
in
second, 8 points behind now. They're really uninspired at Alaves on Friday as well. So I think it's a good time, despite the fact they don't get beaten very often,
for
West Ham to go there and get something.
Yeah, and they thought it was a good time to play Real Madrid in the Champions League. It's their tournament. You're playing Sevilla in the Europa League.
Yeah.
Okay?
If you beat them, though, you've basically won the whole thing.
You get your own little trophy.
If you can beat them in the Europa League.
That's right, yeah. It is West Ham's first knockout match in Europe since 1981, by the way, which is quite something. It was Cup Winners' Cup, of course.
Was that the same year that they played Castilla, Real Madrid B?
Oh, I don't know.
I mean, because that was a weird one, wasn't it?
Yeah, they got hammered by a Georgian side around that time. I think it was probably Dynamo Tbilisi. I can't think of any other Georgian sides. But I think that was maybe, certainly in the early 80s. But David Moyes has called it the tie of the round. Big talk from David Moyes, isn't it? Tie of the round.
Yeah, I think he's right, because Sevilla are involved.
True enough. And so is Anthony Martial.
Yes.
Nice for him to have another swing at the Europa League.
Serial Europa League winners, World Cup winners. It is the tie of the round.
Was he in the French squad for the World Cup?
No, West Ham won the World Cup.
Forgive me, sorry.
Look, the main thing we should be taking in here is if West Ham get a result, everyone will just be able to replay that meme of David Moyes with the headphones on, getting the instantaneous interpretation when he's at... Real Sociedad.
Yeah, but
nodding his head to Bad Boy for Life.
Yeah, but is he going to be offered some crisps, Andy? Yeah. That's what we want to see. Well, look out for that, everybody, because we certainly will be. It's going to be a good one. Squarest manager in the Premier League, Jim? Did we have a consensus?
I think Andy's right.
Is he?
Yeah, I do. I think maybe Graham Potter is a possible candidate.
Potter would be a laugh to go for a
you
pint
think?
With.
Yeah.
Jules Breach isn't having that.
No, she's not. I'm dead now, aren't I? I'm an absolutely dead meat.
You're also modelling your current beard on Graham Potter.
I am.
You're a couple of junior James Hardens, and I'm here for it.
Jim's is more Frankie Boyle.
Yeah?
Yeah. Equally as funny. And shocking. there we are. What a note to finish on, eh, Jim? Thank you very much for listening to the Football Ramble, part of the Acast Creator Network, of course, on tomorrow's show. I'm back with Vish and Andy. Big.
Woo!
Oh, well, who's going to be playing in the game? Who's going to be hosting the game? Find out tomorrow, everybody. It's going to be great. We're going to mention West Ham and Sevilla, of course, because we'll know the result by then. And no doubt, we probably will talk more about Chelsea and the Abramovich situation, because that will have perhaps unfolded. We shall see.
What Marcus is saying is come back, people.
Yeah, for crying
come back
out
to us.
Tune in tomorrow.
Not finished yet,
as they used to say. All right, nice one. Thank you very much, Andy Brassel.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jim Campbell.
Thank you.
Thank you, listeners. See you tomorrow.
The Football Ramble is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Small details are big surfaces, tight corners are odd shapes, flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces 3 thought-provoking questions over 3 glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember. Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad was thinking of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.